Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let me chime in a little bit, and I'll read some of the texts. I thank Steve Fletcher for coming on. I differ. I think there were some points where there were some pretty long pauses. I thought that was fairly telling. I don't accept this idea that we cannot have dual purposes, where, yes, we are looking at the root cause. What is going on with individuals who either are more inclined to be involved in crime, or people who are not involved in crime and they are targeted? Okay, those matter. At the same time, the idea that you can't also address downtown Minneapolis and what is a notable uptick, okay? The numbers actually on violent crime until, oh, by the way, today, because we don't know about these two deaths and what exactly is going on, but the numbers from July until some early August actually were a little bit lower, because through middle July, up 22% violent crime. And yes, nationwide, crime is down. But we're talking about the biggest city in this state, and it's not close. And you would have to then say business owner after business owner after business owner, resident after resident after resident, individuals are coming down here are lying. They're not. Some might exaggerate. There's some hyperbole. It is backed by data. It is backed by credibility. We have not reacted enough with added numbers on the police. And there is, to me, too much of the default because of some awful incidents by a small group of officers in this city and across this country regarding racial profiling, where at times I think people are reluctant to pursue individuals who may be involved in a crime because they're wary of the image that Minneapolis police already has with people of color. And there are plenty of people of color in this area who have been targeted. That doesn't mean you just give up when others, whether they're white or, by the way, individuals who are individuals of color, where they're involved in criminal activity. That is a concession that cities should not make. Being a young black man and being targeted, trust me, I've had plenty of my friends who aren't white who have been targeted for no bleeping reason. And it's horrific. Also, being a police officer in downtown Minneapolis is a hard as hell job. The overwhelming majority of them are quality at what they do. Not all of them. You should be able to do both. Single out the officers who are not good enough, follow up on that, but then allow the individuals who are skilled, who know what they're doing, and let them do their damn jobs. At the same time, when a person is pulled over for no other reason, because he's a black kid or a young adult or, by the way, a middle-aged black man, and if there's any pattern in this, then that person is found out and that person is fired. Instead of just pacifying, it is possible. It is very feasible in a complicated, difficult way to do both those activities. And to act like nothing has changed in downtown, I don't accept it all. Let's pause here. Bob Kroll is going to join us, head of Minneapolis Police Union, in moments. Many texts still coming in. I'll get to those throughout this show. 651-989-9226. Adam has an update right now. While we played the two parts of the Steve Fletcher interview, the head of the Minneapolis Police Union, Bob Kroll, Lieutenant Bob Kroll, was listening, called in, and wanted to chime in himself. Mr. Kroll has been on the show a number of times. I always appreciate the opportunity. As you listen to Councilmember Fletcher, broadly, what was your overall reaction?
Well, first, I want to make just 3 points. Broadly, I mean, he answered things like a politician. That's broadly. But first, Chad, one question he had is, does the labor agreement allow for him to deploy the resources? And the answer to that is it certainly does. Mm-hmm. So look no further. That's within the labor agreement to deploy resources where needed. But 3 points I'd like to make.
Let me just ask you that. Is there a number limitation?
They can deploy they can deploy them wherever needed. There's their ins and outs of the contract lay that out. But first, the first point being the shootings. We've got nearly a shooting every 24 hours on average. And the three reasons that these are not homicides, they're using small caliber weapons, they're horrible shots, and most importantly, the EMS EMS and medical services provided by Hennepin County Medical Center and North Memorial are outstanding. So they are saving people's lives on a nightly basis. If 1/4 of our shootings actually were homicides, everybody in the city, including the city council, would be reacting completely different. But the reality is they're hitting people in the arms and legs with 22s and 25s, and they're not taking lives. It would be a completely different reaction. Second point, and I sent these numbers to the council members last year, but I gave them a 20-year look back on police staffing. And, for example, 20 years ago in 1999, we had 929 sworn personnel to police a city of 355,949 people. Now, here we have less than the authorized strength is 888. We're running at about 875. But we're policing a city of 455,000 people, not to mention all the other people that come into the city to work during the day mostly and to play at night mostly. We've got a huge population swell. And along with that, when you compare other numbers I sent them to, are comparable cities. Minneapolis, and this data is a few years old, but we have about 2.1 officers per 1,000 people. When you go to cities like St. Louis, Atlanta, Cleveland, those numbers are 3.8, 4.0, 4.3, nearly double the officers that we have per capita.
Let me ask you about that.
We're not keeping pace.
So I know you got another point. Let me ask you about that. Whether it's been Mayor Hodges or Mayor Ryback, do you feel like they and the council that was the makeup at the time, do you think at the time they were trying to address this also and there was pushback? Or what's been the feeling as the city has fallen behind other comparable cities?
Well, I think the mayor our current mayor is doing his part. I think he's agrees with the chief, but he had more support in the council. I mean, you had Barb Johnson is now off the council. She was a strong law and order supporter, things like that. So the composition of the council has changed. And I think before you had some more support from the council that you're seeing now, which brings me to the third point. You know, the chief was the interim chief, and now you've given Chief Arredondo a 3-year term. Now, what the council needs to do is, as they govern, they need to listen to the experts. And the experts are, one, they're the residents that live downtown that see the violence, two, the business owners. Tim Mahoney's been involved with the Loon for 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to listen to the people that are there, or you've got to go out and see it yourself. But as a council member, your job is to govern and respond to your constituents. If you've got residents and business owners, and the business owners in downtown Minneapolis are the engine that drives the bus, okay, that's where your taxes are coming from. If they're crying for more officers, you got to listen to them, support them. But most importantly, you give Chief Arredondo a 3-year term, you appoint him, it's unanimous. Why don't you listen to the experts? And that's him and his staff. If they are saying this is what they need to keep pace and control crime and policing, why wouldn't you want to support the chief that you supported? Why would you want to set your first African-American chief up in the history of Minneapolis? Why would you want to set him up for failure?
I get that you defer to experts, but, and again, I'm different with Fletcher on a number of his points, but I think he has a right as the council member who was elected and is now serving a 4-year term to give his view and offers influence and state where he stands. That's what the voters decided they wanted when he won the plurality to become the council member for this area.
Very true. Very true. He won. He's there now. He doesn't have a history in law enforcement, of course, but again, that's when you need to talk with your first precinct inspector, go out on ride-alongs or walk-alongs, and go out at bar close down there, you know, see what it's actually like. But most importantly, you appoint bureau heads, whether it's public works, whether it's fire, whether it's the police department, you entrust them to be the experts, them and their staff that they appoint. So why in the world would you buck against them?
So let me ask you this, because I believe you would agree with this, that many numbers nationwide show crime is dropping. He says this year is an aberration, that this year is atypical, that he has data that shows last year in downtown Minneapolis, it was at an all-time low, and that, yes, we should react to this year, but we shouldn't overreact against a decade-after-decade trend. Does that point have validity?
Well, there is some validity to that, but what you need to consider, too, is you've got a reduction of people going into law enforcement because of the times, and we're you know, police are beaten down. We've seen it's record low numbers going into the career. We also have a lot of retirements coming up. We've had a lot in this past year. We've got a lot more. We've got a lot of people in that retirement age. So to just keep pace, you certainly need to increase hiring right now. 400 officers in the next 5 years, I fully support the idea, but I really think we'll have difficulty achieving it, even if you get underway now, because we're going to have a lot of attrition. And people just aren't going into the job. And when you do that, you don't want to lower standards. You know, he talked a lot about the quality of people going into it, mm-hmm. how you train them and stuff yep. like that. And I fully support that. You hire good people with good character and you train them your way. And that's what the chief's attempting to do. But we're not going to be able to keep pace. And you got to look not just backwards, but forwards. What is this agency going to look like in the next 5 years? And I think the chief has the vision for that, where some council members are relying on numbers in the past.
Can you hang on just for a short pause? Because I want to get to a couple of the points that people are raising.
Sure.
All right. Lieutenant Bob Kroll, head of the Minneapolis Police Union, reacting to what has become a huge part of our show the last couple of days from Jay Ettinger, owner of the Poorhouse, his direct comments, his criticism towards what has changed and what is taking place in downtown Minneapolis, and what should and should not take place. Then Steve Fletcher came on today. Bob Kroll was listening. He is reacting to it. Dan, we just have an on-air show meeting.
I just wanted to let you know both podcasts are up. It's available.
Beautiful.
You can catch it at WCCO's Twitter feed or at WCCORadio.com.
WCCORadio.com/chat is where we can direct you to, because we'd love to have you to listen to our podcast on a regular basis. So WCCORadio.com/chat. Couple-minute pause, back with Bob Kroll. Right back with Lieutenant Bob Kroll, head of the Minneapolis Police Union. Okay, sir, if you had the ability to make changes about what is taking place regarding policing downtown Minneapolis, and you could enact those changes today, what would you do?
Well, first, it would be, I fully support the chief's increase in personnel. Second, we got into some of the policies, and I think that's where some of the council members are micromanaging what's done. And I completely concur with what the business owners are saying, is you got to let them do the job as they're trained. Because you're elected doesn't make you an expert in policing. And that starts with your marijuana stings and all that type of things. And you know, the chief and I will disagree on these things. One thing we'll agree on is the numbers, and it's up to his purview on how he wants to deploy them. But what I would do if I were in charge of downtown or the city, I'd have a lot more of undercover operations taking place. I would utilize the cameras more, and I would support proactive policing. And that is, you know, the council member talked about, oh, that taillight stopped, and are you profiling? At night, I challenge anyone, when you stop a vehicle, to tell me the race of the person inside when you stop from behind for a taillight out. It's a false narrative. You don't know who's in that car until you actually light it up and get close and look. So going back to 30 years ago, the broken windows theory of policing, stop the little crimes, enforce the little crimes, the livability issues, because you're, the little arrests lead to big arrests. You're taking firearms off the street. When you stop that vehicle for a taillight out and you realize the driver has no license and you go to search the vehicle and place him under arrest, all of a sudden you're taking firearms off the street. Little arrests lead to big ones. And I would get a traffic division. Do you realize that we don't even have a traffic division? We used to have an entire division of about 50 officers headed by a captain and lieutenants and a day shift and a night shift. Good luck to you if you're the victim of a hit and run in downtown Minneapolis. It's simply not going to get investigated. We've got six people in the traffic division, and that's pathetic numbers. You want to take people from committing crime off the streets? Pick them up for drunk driving when they're leaving the bars. Tow their vehicles. Again, you're towing firearms, you're towing narcotics along off the streets with the vehicles. We don't have a traffic division, no enforcement, haven't had for a number of years.
The mayor is going to come out on Thursday with his budget. Are you confident that he's going to come out strong in specific numbers that will add a high number of added police officers? Nobody thinks he's going to get to the 400 officers right away. I personally don't think he's ever going to get to the 400 officers that the chief wants. But an increase that those who share your views, whether they're business owners, residents, will look at these numbers and look at Mayor Fry and say, yes, he gets it.
I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident. I mean, only the mayor knows where he's going to come in on this. I just hope, again, he listens to the experts, and that's the chief and his command staff.
Do you think the chief is visible enough to the public on this? I don't doubt for a second he works very, very hard. But is he getting this message out about what he wants and how he's reacting, whether it's through the media, through business owners? Because we've watched this for years and years. When you have somebody who is out front and who is an excellent communicator, like Chief Arredondo it is, it makes an impact.
You know, the chief has limited time. I think he's speaking directly to the people that need to hear it. They put him in office, the mayor and the council. It was unanimous. He's speaking directly to the people and that make these decisions. I don't think it's his job to go out to encourage the public to call their city council members and things like that. He's more soft-spoken than that. And, you know, he's reaching the people directly. You put him in charge, let him run it smartly. Why would you want to set a chief that the first African-American chief we've ever had? Why in the world would you set him up for failure and not do the job that he would like to see done there and with the vision that he has?
We've had some back and forth over the years on issues that has involved police officers who were white, not all, some white, and individuals who were African-Americans or individuals of color in the city. If you're down in Minneapolis and you're someone who feels like he or she has been targeted because they're not a white person like the two of us, what would you say to that person?
Nothing to worry about. It's a false narrative. Simply untrue.
But we have had some data in other cities that has showed this, right? To act like we've never had racial profiling is not true.
Well, again, the simple answer to that is don't commit a crime and you won't be bothered. Okay, everywhere downtown is recorded, not just by the officers wearing the body cameras and the cameras in their squad car. Virtually everywhere downtown is recorded and goes right into the first precinct. If you feel that you have been treated inappropriately by the police, we've got a number of avenues to make complaints. Go ahead and file that complaint, and the footage will be saved and fully investigated and dealt with. That's a false narrative that keeps perpetuating.
So are you saying without equivocation that the 24-year-old white kid who walks down downtown Minneapolis from, let's say, Plymouth, compared to the 24-year-old black kid who somebody might think is from North Minneapolis, you're 100% convinced that every officer is going to treat those two individuals the exact same?
It depends on what the act is done.
What
is the act? I mean, there's a lot of hypotheticals there. It's difficult to weigh in on the hypothetical. If you're shooting a gun off, they don't care what color you are. If you're selling marijuana,
you're smoking a joint. You're harassing people. More the nuanced ones that you're talking about, where a lot of people say those are low level offenses. We shouldn't worry about it. And I think you're saying, if we have that opportunity to look at individuals who are breaking the law at that point, why would we ever look away?
Okay. So Chad, you just said harassing, and I can guarantee you that the police are not out there harassing anyone.
No, no, a person. I'm saying a person. This individual is mouthing off. Okay. He's lipping off. The individual who might be the one who draws attention from an officer.
Again, if there is disorderly conduct happening in their presence, they'll address it. And I believe that they will. I can't say what's going through the heart and mind of every officer out there. It'd be irresponsible for me to say that. But I can assure you that if a crime is being committed, they're going to be treated the same regardless of what their skin color is. The officers don't care. They care about the act happening. And again, that's why you hire quality people with good character and train them the way you want.
Although you've said it's harder to get good quality people now, right?
Sure is. It sure is. It's getting harder by the day because of the false narratives like this that are out there.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bob Kroll, the head of the Minneapolis Police Union. Jim and Rob have been holding for a while. Rob, you're mobile. I promise you, right after traffic and weather, we're going to take your calls. I'd love to get more phone calls. So we've had Jay Ettinger yesterday, Steve Fletcher today, Bob Kroll today. A lot on the biggest city in this town, the town that drives the engine of this state. If you think, hey, I live in Lakeland Shores or I live in Nisswa, this doesn't matter, you're wrong. Because cities drive states. The biggest city, the more prosperous it is, the more successful it is, the less crime it has, the more accommodating it is to all people, the better it is for the state. This is an enormous issue that is taking place, that has been going on for too long, and there is a huge debate about what is really happening, what should happen, where do you stand. We've given you a variety of different views, including my opinion, Cook's opinion, Carter's opinion, but even more importantly, Jay Ettinger's opinion, Steve Fletcher's opinion, and Bob Kroll's opinion. Quickly through traffic and weather, and then I want a lot of response, a number of responses from all of you. 651-989-9226.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, right to the phone call, 651-989-9226. Rob, I greatly appreciate your patience. You've been hanging mobile. Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
Thanks for grabbing my call. I will first say that typically I listen to your show because I don't agree with what you say, and I'm trying to hear the other side.
Sure.
And trying to learn from that. And this topic, we're in 100% agreement. I am a business owner, and I'm not in downtown Minneapolis. I am in Minneapolis. And I think everybody's focusing on what's happening in downtown. It's happening outside of downtown. For example, I know for a fact that on multiple shifts every month in 3rd Precinct alone, there is one uniformed officer for part of the shift, if not most of the shift.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean there's not sergeants. Doesn't mean there's not detectives. Mm-hmm. But an actual beat cop, right, there's one guy.
Well, among That is. It's completely and totally unacceptable, right? And when we look at this city and how the city's population, Rob, has increased, let alone how downtown's population has totally changed, and the idea that we have less police officers that we had years ago is insane. Right?
They can't do the job. There's not enough resources. Bob Kroll brought up a point about having traffic officers. My business had a car hit it at 35 miles an hour 7 weeks ago. And the only thing that stopped it was a railing outside of it where the car actually hit at 35 and actually jumped 8 feet over. It took me 2.5 weeks to get a copy of the police report. Then I couldn't get it because I wasn't actually on the report because I wasn't on scene when the accident happened. And I said, well, take my name off the business. I own the business in the building. We don't have that data. What do you mean you don't have that data? Well, the police department doesn't access city data. City data doesn't access the police department. Didn't we fix this when 9/11 happened? Did we spend millions of dollars to fix the communication gaps? And here we go again and again with, you know, I need data. I understand council wants to talk from data.
Yep.
But then, again, why are we hiring police chiefs then?
Well, the police chief. And here's another thing. When none of us can say, okay, tomorrow I know where the crime is going to happen this specifically. But when we look at what is taking place and there has been a pattern and then you have a lack of officers, by the way, we haven't even mentioned today the horrific lack of responses on 911 calls in the city, where the data from the Tribune, it turned out, was fivefold less. And then we're having a debate on when we respond immediately. Are you kidding me? In the biggest city in our state, the idea that if I'm calling 911 because I'm in the heart of downtown right now and I might get a response for a potential crime, that is pathetic and unacceptable.
Well, and I think that topic came up a week or two ago. I'm not sure if the same council member you had on, but you had a member on that said that he was unaware of any of that data and would have to see the data before he could comment on it.
It was council member Ellison, and I pushed him on that. And then he debated me, well, what does immediately mean? I think it's pretty clear what immediately means. And if I'm in the city, okay, anywhere in a city of this size, if it happened once in an isolating incident, okay, for that incident, it's horrible. But if now the number is 5,000, then we don't have some aberration, some incompetence. We have a systematic failure. It's very clear.
Right. And I don't know how anybody saw this coming. About 5 years ago, the police union for the entire state, people aren't aware, every officer in the state except for state troopers under the same union umbrella, they pushed retirement age back and agreed to with their cities 2 years. And prior to that, if you retired early, it was a 1% penalty to retire early. Now it's 10% per year. Yeah. So 5 years ago, there was this big, giant rush of officers retiring. The number I was told was somewhere around 15 to 17% of all officers in the entire state of Minnesota retired. Because why stay? There was no benefit. You leave now, otherwise you're going to get hurt later on how much you lose in your pension.
Rob,
well,
one last
fill those holes?
Yeah, one last thing. Yeah. One last thing. Let's go. Doesn't it feel better to agree with me? I mean, don't you feel bad? I mean, don't you feel like a kind of a glow about you?
No, not all the time. But this topic, yes, I will 100%. And don't call me on that one. The part I'll give you, though, NFC Chad, is that you will debate somebody fairly as long as that person is intelligent, is being civil, and is being, behave.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Call in anytime. Jim is in Plymouth. I want more phone calls. I want more text. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to go along with Officer Kroll on the ride-along for the city council and walk-along, but just to do one better than that, they should have to go and walk by themselves down Hennepin, down First Avenue, around the bus depot, all by themselves at between 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And they might have a different idea of safety in downtown Minneapolis if they had to do that. But most of the city council people don't even probably go out at
night. See, I don't know that. I think especially if that's your ward, if you're not out and about on a regular basis – at many different levels, not just on public safety, but in a lot of areas. But since we're talking public safety, if that is your area and so many business owners are speaking out about this, people work down here are speaking out about it, residents are speaking out about it, to act like everybody's in on it is lunacy. We can have a healthy debate. We can have the conversation. We can have a huge amount of money directed towards the root cause and what is not working, where more individuals are coming down here and are a part of this. But, oh, by the way, to say that we can't also increase the amount of police officers we have, I cannot tell you how much I disagree with that.
But, Chad, you got to let the people, you got to let the police do their jobs, too. And when they're
absolutely, you do, 100%. And I've had more people tell me that they feel like they're limited. That doesn't mean we don't have oversight. And that doesn't mean, by the way, whether you agree with the council members or not, they're elected for 4 years. They're not elected to sit there. They're not elected to just go along with everything. They can have their views. It's not a matter of, hey, go there and just wait. Yeah, I would like, as someone who, you know, I feel like I'm slightly center left on social issues. I'm slightly center right on fiscal issues. I would like to see a more representative balance to the city of Minneapolis. I think that for me personally, I would feel that the city might take on some of these challenges a little bit more effectively, as opposed to like everybody feeling like they're in about the same area. But yes, you should defer, especially now if you have somebody in the chief who is as respected as I remember chief has been in a long, long time, and he is basically begging you, we need to make changes. I think that's awfully telling myself.
Yeah, and then when they do arrest somebody or if something happens, then the city council rolls over with no objection and pays them a couple $100,000. We could have that money for more police officers.
Well, I don't think they rolled over. There were debates on that for months and months and months. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the phone call. Let's pause here. Come back. We're going to stay with this just for the rest of the hour because it's become a huge part of the show the last couple of days. Most of the time on this show, we don't spend this amount of time on a single topic. This came about for a couple of reasons. What's going on in downtown? Jay's willingness to come down here, and then the reaction it has received. And then, oh, by the way, today we got two bodies in Minneapolis dead, and we're still trying to find out details about it. So keep the texts and phone calls coming in. 149. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to learn why Lindis was named to GAF Asphalt Shingles 3-Star President's Club. All right, right back to the phone calls. Roger is in St. Michael. Go ahead, Roger.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
So I got a couple questions on our cost and our overtime with our officers, existing officers, and what it's going to cost us to put 400 officers back on.
First of all, I'm on record. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Okay.
No,
I think the numbers have to go up. I actually personally think Chief Arredondo should be more realistic about that. But that is the point of Fletcher and others who are pushing back on that idea and saying, how can we afford it? I think some of the numbers they're using are hyperbolic about what we'd have to do with property taxes. But, yeah. That is the dilemma. And by the way, in this state, we're allowed to not always increase all of the time, right?
Correct.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call.
Thanks.
You got something,
Adam? Yeah, just weather popping to the north of the metro, Kandy, Ojai County, a tornado warning. And this is headed right for Spicer. So tornado warning right now for Kandy, Ojai County until 2:30.
Yeah, it's rather deceiving right now where we're at in downtown Minneapolis because it's beautiful out, the humidity's down, but you look at the
west
radar.
Of the Twin Cities, excuse me.
What was that?
I said north, but it's west.
Yeah.
I should know that.
Yeah, you should. You're better than that. Let's go. It is definitely headed our way. Who's next? Kent's in Chanhassen. Go ahead, Kent.
Yeah, a couple issues I got really on the same kind of subject on whether black folks and white folks are treated equally by the police. That's a problem that's been going on for a long, long time. And for any official to say or even try to convince that it's not an issue is very irresponsible. And for the caller that kept hinting at you need to let them do their jobs and something about the $200,000 that was given out, you know, I know what he was hinting at the whole time. And you know what? It is a problem. Black folks are not treated equally as white folks. It's a harsh issue out there. But how are you going to bring up the $200,000 to pay out on the poor black kid that was shot by the cops, but $20 million to the white woman that was shot by a black cop?
Okay, so let me respond, because you raised a lot of valid points. Anybody who acts like we don't have a lot of data on the problem with racial profiling in this country, you're naive. Okay, that, again, doesn't mean every single time a person of color is pulled over or when a white person is treated differently, it is profiling. It is out there. I get Bob Kroll sees it differently. I think the data is overwhelmingly different. We do have to remember the circumstance with Justine Damon and Jamar Clark were massively different. One individual, and you may totally disagree with how they arrived at the decision, and you're allowed to feel that way. One person, they didn't pursue any charges, and the other person, they pursued charges and found him guilty of second-degree murder. So there is going to be an enormous disparity when you have those differences in what either the grand jury, the county attorney, and the jury itself decided.
I was just more on the fact the caller disagreed with giving the $200,000 to the family of the one kid. That wasn't right.
I got it. Thank you. Ryan, we got about a minute. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello, this is Ryan.
This is. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my issue is, you know, I work downtown for Target, and it's like the white, you know, the pink elephant in the room. It's, you know, the problems that we're seeing down there is generally the young, you know, black juveniles that the police can't do anything with. They're absolutely afraid to do their jobs, and it's proven time and time again, and I guess I don't know what the solution is. You know, because every time they do something, it appears on the news and everything that they're being called racist.
Let me jump in. I don't think it's every single time. I do think there is a dilemma in this city because of what has happened in the more high-profile incidents where individuals or persons of color feel like they've been targeted and are now officers either being told or tiptoeing around individuals who are violating the law. And that is a balance that at times I get right, and other times I think they fail it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.